to talk for the next few minutes about some of the serious threats that have been issued over the last few days. And the latest today with Great West Life, a number of their buildings being closed, their employees being told to stay at home. And of course, twice this week, the Lord Selkirk School Division faced online threats. Thankfully, nothing has happened to back those threats up or substantiate them. But these threats are always taken seriously, as they must be. And a couple of people have been charged in the Lord Selkirk case. A couple of people have been charged with uttering threats. Find out a little bit more about what that actually means. I'm joined by criminal defense lawyer Josh Regala. Josh, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome.
So when somebody is charged with uttering threats, what do I have to say or imply to get charged with something like that?
Well, when we're looking at cases like that, it's really two things that we're looking at. First, whether or not they did an act which is conveying a threat of death or serious bodily harm. And that can be written, spoken, it can be said directly to a person, it can be said to a third party. What's important is that that threat was meant to intimidate or be taken seriously. And where either of those are true, then the next thing to look at is whether or not in that context there's any other possibilities. And that's what we'd be looking for if we're defending the case. But typically speaking, that's all that's required. Usually these kind of cases are pretty clear on their face, especially the incidents that recently happened here involving Lord Selkirk School Division as well as Great West Life.
So is it up to the Crown to prove intent, or are the words enough? You know, in other words, do I have to show, if I'm the Crown attorney and I'm up against Regala in a court, do I have to prove that your client really intended to follow through with these threats, or is the threat itself, the existence of that threat itself enough?
Well, the onus is always on the Crown, but typically in the absence of any kind of explanation by the accused, usually it's going to be determined by the words used, the context in which they were spoken, and the person to whom they were directed. So sometimes there's situations where someone's blowing off steam, or maybe in the heat of a moment, they might say something that they don't intend for the other person to take seriously. In other contexts, threats obviously are meant to be taken seriously and are meant to intimidate.
Right. So if I come into court and say, well, my lord, I was really just pulling a prank. I didn't really mean to do any of this. I was just trying making some mischief. That may not wash with the bench?
I don't think it would be a very successful argument. Offenses like these are taken very seriously by the court. And in all the cases that I've either been involved with or that I've read about, none of them appreciate these as pranks. The impact, ramifications, and potential consequences of incidents like this can really range. They are going to be looking at whether or not evacuations were required, how disruptive and how costly those evacuations were, and how that experience has traumatized others. In this case, obviously the school community has been greatly affected, and by extension, the community at large, as well as Great West Life. I'm sure they've suffered financial losses. The court's also going to be looking at how these experiences have taken away a sense of safety from both the school, from students, from teachers, as well as from those going to work. The other thing that they'll be looking at is the deployment of resources from emergency services and how those resources have been wasted and where they could have otherwise been responding to real incidents. The very nature of a threat is a serious thing, and it definitely has an impact on those that it's made towards. So they're going to be looking towards all these different kind of factors when determining the seriousness of it.
Naturally, we can't quantify or measure the kind of stress levels now that the folks in Selkirk or subsequently at Great West Life are going to be feeling, but there is a way, I suppose, to measure the cost of sending out those emergency vehicles and the resources that are used. At least there's some basic measure, but Winnipeg police are telling us today that to the best of their knowledge, they've never actually gone after someone in a case like a false threat being called in. So, you know, going after them for money or to recoup the cost of right. deploying those resources, especially if it's, you know, if it's an overtime that situation, that becomes even easier to calculate. But could we, is that something that either the city or the Winnipeg Police or the Crown could pursue?
Yes, it is. I'm not aware of anywhere restitution being sought for the resources squandered by emergency services, but there have been other cases where, for example, a bomb threat's made on a plane. That plane has to be redirected, turned around. It's going to cost the airline quite a lot.
Right.
And in those cases, there has been standalone restitution orders made as part of the sentence. And it may not be the full amount. It may be a partial amount because they're going to look at whether or not the offender could pay the restitution and whether or not it would be too oppressive as part of the sentence. But typically speaking, businesses will be giving victim impact statements, letting the court know during sentencing how much financial loss they had as a result of a bomb threat or any kind of other kind of threat that affected their business. The court certainly will consider either making an order to be part of their probation that they have to pay or a standalone order, which is essentially equivalent to a civil judgment that they have to pay to put the victim back in a better position.
Yeah, and of course, you can't squeeze blood out of a stone. And if you're talking about a 16-year-old kid or somebody who's 18 who may or may not be employed, you can't recoup the money anyway, can you?
No, and the court certainly is going to take that into consideration. When it comes to young offenders, they deal with young offenders differently than adults. I understand a 16-year-old has been charged, and they're going to be really trying to focus on his rehabilitation or her rehabilitation. But they're going to be focused on trying to get to the root cause of it, as they would the two 18-year-olds that are involved in this as well. But their focus really is going to be on deterring the two adults involved in it and trying to send a message to the public that this kind of thing isn't acceptable.
So in the end, then, what might happen to me if I'm found guilty of uttering threats? What are the potential penalties?
For youth, for both youth as well as in adults in this case, they could face a period of custody. I don't think it would be a long period of custody if they were looking at that. The sentencing range can vary so widely. It could be anywhere from a conditional discharge, meaning that they're required to do maybe some kind of community service work, they don't end up with a criminal record at the end of the day, to spending a significant period of time in custody. And it really depends a lot on their background and what steps they take towards rehabilitation between their arrest and when they're being sentenced. And that's especially true for the young offender in this case. I've dealt with similar cases as this, where after the young offender has gone through, let's say, rehabilitative programming as well as done community service work, the charges were ultimately dropped. With adults, the situation might be a little bit different.
So for a youth, sometimes you kind of put the fear of God into them and that's the end of it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, seriously, that's sometimes all it takes, isn't it, right?
You
scare them a little bit. And, all right, Josh, great to have you on. Thanks a lot for walking us through this process.
You're very welcome.
Josh Rogala is a criminal defense attorney here in Winnipeg. And again, if you have been out of touch today, the Great West Life employees were told to stay home today because of a threat that was issued. And police have been checking out the buildings because, of course, Great West Life has more than the one. It's the big one on Osborne, which many of you, of course, drive by on a daily basis. But so far, nothing. No news to come out of that, nothing of consequence, certainly to come out of that one just yet.